The murderers on death row today should be executed. Excuse me, what did he just say? My name's Doug McBurney, and I heard Bob Enyart say just that in 1995, and I've been listening ever since. I found out that the death penalty is at the heart of the gospel, and that Christianity and justice need not be mutually exclusive. A video titled God and the Death Penalty is available today at kgov.com. God and the Death Penalty examines God's ideas about justice. You'll learn the New Testament verses affirming the death penalty and understand why God never repealed capital punishment. Find out God's opinion. Order God and the Death Penalty today at kgov.com. That's God and the Death Penalty at kgov.com.
Warning is truth of the head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the nation, in Colorado, around the world, the intergalactic community. I am not Bob Enyart, pastor of Denver Bible Church, and known in some circles as America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. I am Doug McBurney. Daryl is my producer. Daryl, are MacBooks waterproof? Are they waterproof?
Not to my knowledge, Doug.
We might have a few problems. Let me see if my Bible opens. Okay, how about we start with a random Bible verse? All right, Hebrews, the 11th chapter and the 17th verse. By faith, Abraham, when he was... Warning, Will Robinson, there are Bible verses up ahead for those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity. We know here at Bob Enyart Live that you would like to censor anyone who would ever dare even consider the possibility of quoting a Bible verse in public. So this warning gives you fair notice that raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered from the author of the Epistle to the Hebrews. In the 11th chapter and the 17th verse, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. That's the random Bible verse. I was just trying to find out if my MacBook was waterproof. And apparently it is to some degree. By faith, Joseph. If I ever have a son, I'm going to name him Joseph. What do you think of that? No, don't call me on that. I don't want to get into a debate about baby names. Let's do some politics. I've got the the official American constitutional primary election ballot. This is for Jefferson County. For representative to the 113th United States Congress, you have the opportunity, if you're in Jefferson County, to vote on the American Constitution Party ticket. For Douglas Dayhorse Campbell. Wasn't there a Nighthorse Campbell back? Ben Nighthorse Campbell. Yeah. He was the Native American candidate back. Well, you know, he had high cheekbones. I know that. Douglas Dayhorse Campbell. Does anybody know Douglas Campbell? Isn't he a personhood supporter? No, we don't know. I believe Douglas Campbell is a supporter of the idea that every unborn child has an inalienable right to life granted to him or her by the living God. I believe Douglas Dayhorse, hence the name Dayhorse. So I'm petitioning the other night at a Catholic church. You want to hear some funny petitioning stories? I'm petitioning at a Catholic church. The event doesn't end until 10 o'clock at night, at which point it's dark, right? Well, being industrious and resourceful, what I did was I found an exit, one of the main exits at this large Catholic institution. And they had brick walls about 3 feet high, and the top was concrete, just about 18 inches, and then they were about 20 inches long, like a desktop practically. So I laid out about 15 petitions on the top of this concrete and brick structure, which happened to be just under a large street light. And when the people exited the event, I said, ladies and gentlemen, step into the light and sign the pro-life personhood petition. At which point, dozens upon dozens upon dozens of people came and signed the pro-life personhood petition. I want to thank my friends at Thomas More Catholic Church for not throwing me off their parking lot. In fact, they were very nice. I hadn't been officially invited to the event, but the organizers, when they saw what we were doing, they agreed. And they said, as long as you don't cause a problem, you can stand in the light and collect signatures. Now, we were ejected from a Protestant. I'm not going to get into that because I don't want to make any of my Protestant friends mad. Am I a Protestant? By the way, at Denver Bible Church, do we call ourselves Protestants? We really don't. We're fundamentalists. That's what we are. We're fundamentalists. We're the same type of people who you would have found on the Mayflower. Yeah, except without the hats and the facial hair. We don't do that as much anymore. So on the Jefferson County primary ballot, getting back to that, because we like to do politics. Are you voting in the primary, folks? Do you feel a civic responsibility to vote in the primaries? Well, I just noticed here, State Senate District 19, vote for one. There are no candidates for this office. State Representative District 27, vote for one. There are no candidates for this office. How much do these jobs pay? Is this something I should have signed up for? I wasn't aware. Oh, I see. This is the American Constitution. You can bet that there's a Democrat or a Republican who's running for each and every one of these high-paying government jobs. So I probably could. You know, if I missed out on one of these no-show government jobs, I'd be very depressed. I'm sure somebody's nephew or cousin will be filling these jobs. All right. So is that enough about politics? I want to go to... Do I want to start with Rodney King or do I want to start with Shiner, Texas? I want to start with Rodney King. Rodney King was found at the bottom of his own pool in a state of, well, he wasn't healthy, I can tell you that. In fact, I believe that Rodney King has died. He was found at the bottom of his own pool. Now, he's 47 years old, so let's safely assume that since he had a pool that he knew how to swim. Let me just leave it at, let's wait for the toxicology reports. But Rodney King became a cultural icon, not of his own doing, but just because somebody in a second-story apartment happened to have a video camera in 1991. And, you all remember what happened. I don't have to recap that. I was living in San Diego at the time, and I remember thinking, when I saw the rioting in Los Angeles, I remember thinking, I wonder if they're going to march all the way to San Diego and burn down my apartment building. I wanted to be like one of those Korean Korean liquor store owners, you know, standing on the roof with a 45. But I didn't have a 45, so I was concerned for my own safety. I remember it was pretty intense if you lived through those times, especially if you were in Southern California. But Rodney King asked the question we all remember: can't we all just get along? And I've heard that question now since Rodney was found, unfortunately, at the bottom of his pool without any scuba equipment. I've heard that question asked over and over and over the past few days, and nobody answers the question. Everybody just asks it as if asking that question is in and of itself beneficial for society. And I don't think just asking the question is beneficial. We need an answer to the question. Can't we all just get along? And now that Rodney has broken the surly bonds of earth, and has shed his mortal coil, and either is or was recently in the presence of the living God, Rodney probably has the answer to the question now. And he's probably thinking, oh, I should have thought of that. How stupid could I have been? Folks, we can't all just get along. Let's take for an example. And this is just a fictitious example that I'm making up off the top of my head. Let's say that you have a man driving a car at 85 miles an hour through a community, through the middle of town, and he's on PCP. We can't get along with that guy. Can't do it. He's a danger to society. Let's say you're in Shiner, Texas, And you hire a man to help you with some horse chores, clipping their, what do they do with horses? They shoe them, but they also trim their hooves, right? Let's say you hire a guy to do that. And in the course of daily affairs, you find out that you catch this man assaulting your four-year-old daughter. Rodney, we can't get along. With those two fellas, they're not going to get along. They're not going to get along. Rodney, we cannot all get along because of sin, because of the fall, because people are fundamentally fallen and have a tendency toward wickedness and a tendency to hurt one another and to steal from one another and to lie to one another. And we all have these predilections, Mr. King, and that's why we can't all just get along. So for all you people in the media who've been parroting this question all week, yes, I accept your thanks for providing you with the answer. Why we can't all just get along. So let's go to Shiner, Texas then. You've all heard the story. I don't want to go into the gory details because they're frankly disgusting. But a 23-year-old father hires a fella to come and help him shoe the horses or trim the horses' hooves. And apparently the man who was hired finds his way to the ranch owner's four-year-old daughter and assaults her or attempts to assault her. I downloaded this story from SavingTheRepublic.com. I don't know anything else about the website, but they did a good report on this story. The father called the police last Saturday afternoon, told them that he attacked a man that he caught trying to assault his daughter. Apparently, the father struck the alleged assailant. Struck him three times with his fists, killing the man. Now, this happened Saturday, and of course, this story has made its rounds through all the liberal media, conservative media, middle-of-the-road media, new media, alternative media. Is there anyone I missed? Everyone has talked about this story for at least a few minutes. And I have yet to hear a single person, whether an avowed leftist, socialist, communist, heathen, God-hating dirtbag, all the way to your finest conservative talk show host like Steve Dace, Bob Enyart. I have yet to hear a single person from anywhere on the political spectrum say that this man was not justified, this father, was not justified in beating to death the man he found in the act of assaulting his four-year-old daughter. And I have to sing praises to God. Yes, I sing praises to God that this story has been given wide coverage, because this one single story, and a very simple story, not a complex, difficult to understand story, this one simple story, in the course of just a few days of national media news play, refutes every single argument I've ever heard against the death penalty as a fundamental and necessary and justified tool within the justice system. Because if you listen, now, last night I'm watching Fox News, and they hired some shill, empty skirt, she-male that they tend to have on Fox. And she initially tried to say that there might be a circumstance. We didn't quite, possibly if we all the facts come. But by the end of her statement, even she said, well, yeah, of course he had the right to kill the guy. So Fox couldn't even pay somebody to represent the other opposing viewpoint. She couldn't even make it to the end of her sentence. So everyone realizes in their gut, reflexively, in their heart of hearts, whether you're a Christian, whether you're a Mormon, whether you're a pagan or a Muslim, or just a disinterested 99%er, all of us know when we read this story at the end, we go, yeah, he killed him. All right. All of us, we all know it deep down in our hearts. Now, am I going to say that the modern day justice system in America doesn't have its failings and that then that the death penalty is not properly utilized? I will say that. But fundamentally now, and anytime someone says, well, I'm against the death penalty, now we have this story that we can tell them in under 30 seconds. And we can ask them, should that father be charged with a crime? If they say no, which they will say no, they're not against the death penalty. and they've just admitted it. So thank you, Lord. And by the way, folks, I've got to say that I don't want to sound like I'm celebrating this story, because this is a horrible story. This four-year-old girl is extremely traumatized. Because anyone who would do this to a child, you have no idea what you're stealing from this child, how badly you're hurting this child when you do something like this to an innocent four-year-old child. But I can assure you, ladies and gentlemen, that this four-year-old girl, no matter what happened or how bad it was for her, she's going to have a much easier time adjusting in her life, knowing that her daddy killed the man who inflicted this harm upon her, and that her daddy killed the man with his own bare hands. She'll have a much easier time adjusting than if she had to go to court and testify against this man, and then perhaps meet this man somewhere down the road after he was released from prison. So our condolences go out to the family of the victim and to the father, who I've heard that he feels terrible, that he feels bad that he killed this man. All he wanted to do was stop this man from hurting his daughter, and he did that. And in the course of doing that, he killed the man. And he feels bad about that. And that just tells me that this father's probably a pretty decent fella. He feels bad he killed the guy. Because I'm sure anytime you kill someone, you feel bad. I've never killed anybody, so I don't know. Even justifiably, I think that any civilized person probably feels bad that he killed somebody. So it's a decent father. He did the right thing. And so just keep this story in your back pocket, folks. Keep it in a little file card there in the frontal lobe of your brain housing group, so that the next time someone says I'm against the death penalty, give him this story. So I'm standing there, I'm petitioning with a Catholic fella, young guy, really nice guy. And we're petitioning at a Catholic church downtown Denver. And a derelict, vagrant, a street bum, he comes by. And me, just always wanting to have a conversation, I said, hey, are you a registered voter? And of course, he looked at me like, well, I don't have a house, so, you know. But he said, no, but what you trying to do? And so I said, you know, we're trying to change the law in Colorado to reestablish the legal personhood of the unborn child so that we can stop the shedding of innocent blood here in this state and hopefully someday around the country. And we're trying to get it on the ballot in November. And I said, are you pro-life? And he said, well, I don't know. And I said, well, how about for you? Are you pro-life for you? And he said, you know, I'm not so sure I am. Now, this was a bum living in the street. And he, at that moment in time, I truly believe, he was not so sure he wanted to be alive. And now this young fellow who was petitioning with me, he was simply observing the situation. And the derelict, he began ranting and raving about his grandfather and the fact that his grandfather had molested him when he was a kid. So this is a very, very broken person, very hurt, broken person who genuinely in his heart, I believe, wasn't so excited about the fact that he was going to wake up tomorrow. I could sense that feeling, that he had been so hurt and so broken by life at the hands of his own grandfather, if you believe what he had to say. And I frankly looked into the man's eyes and I believed what he had to say. And I asked him, I said, well, despite whatever's happened to you and the fact that you're angry and the fact that you want revenge on the man who hurt you so badly, whatever happened to you, don't you want to make the world a better place? He said, the only thing that would make the world a better place for me would be to kill that man, his grandfather. Now, he said it in a much more colorful way than that. But he said that's the only thing that would make the world a better place for him. And I said, brother, I understand what you're saying. I'm with you. Anyone who hurts a child should be executed. You're right. I said, your desire for vengeance in your heart, I said, that's nothing to be ashamed of, brother. It's because you know right from wrong. You know that the man who did this to you should be killed. And in fact, that you have the right to kill him yourself because of what he did to you. I said, but we don't have the opportunity to do that right here, right now, standing on this street corner. But what you do have the chance to do is sign a petition to protect innocent people in a way that you were not protected. And I said, don't you want to make your life better by simply doing what you can to make the world a better place? And he said no. And he was really angry. And I said, if you bring me a petition, sir, advocating a law that would sentence anyone convicted of assaulting a child, if you brought me that petition that they should be sentenced to death, that we should change the law to sentence child abusers, child rapists to death, I said, I would sign that petition. I'm with you. I said, won't you sign mine? And he would not, because he was so angry and so broken and so hurt by life and so far outside of the reach of the God who loves him that he simply could not contemplate being good to someone else. And as he walked away, I told my Catholic friend, who I think might be against the death penalty, because Catholics tend to be against the death penalty. I told him, I said, that guy is really broken. He is really broken. I said, this is what happens to people when our society tolerates crimes like the sexual assault of a child. I said, can you believe how hurt that man is and how damaged he is because of what's happened? Because we as a society have decided to tolerate criminals like this. Anyway, my Catholic friend and I, we didn't get into a debate on the death penalty because other people walked up and we were getting signatures, and that was why we were there. But anyway, I'm hoping I said something both to the homeless fella, who obviously, I mean, there's a guy in need of some help, but also to my Catholic brother who was probably against the death penalty. But maybe he had never come face to face with someone who had been hurt and broken and crushed by a capital crime like that. And I truly believe that this fellow I met who had been molested as a child, I truly believe that had the molester been brought to justice quickly and maybe even painfully, that perhaps that man, now 40 or 50 years later, perhaps he wouldn't be so broken. And perhaps there wouldn't be so many broken people all around us if we as a society would stand up and say, you know, there are certain crimes which we are no longer going to tolerate. We've measured the impact. We've looked at the numbers. We've looked our neighbors in the eyes, and we've seen the damage. We will not tolerate this anymore. And folks, once we're finished with this abortion thing, which that, to me, you know, when I was in the service, they taught you what to do when you came upon a buddy who had been blown apart by a grenade or shot or stabbed or otherwise broken. And there was three rules. Stop the bleeding, start the breathing, treat for shock. See, I still remember it because it was hammered into my head. The first thing you had to do was stop the bleeding. So that's what we're working on as the church, as the body of Christ. Right now, we're trying to stop the bleeding. We've come upon our brother and he's injured. And we need to stop the bleeding. Our brother is the body politic here in the United States. Well, let's just start here in the state of Colorado. We've come upon our brother and there's bleeding. There's the shedding of innocent blood and it has to be stopped. So, and I'm engaged, and I hope you're engaged in circulating the personhood petition. Because if you believe life begins at conception, if you believe an unborn baby is a person, there is actually something you can do about it. You can go online to ColoradoRightToLife.com. You can go online to PersonhoodColorado.com. Email them, phone them, get a petition. And go out and get some signatures from your friends, your family, your neighbors, at your church, at your Bible study, at your place of work. Go out and get some signatures. Let's put it on the ballot. Let's keep trying to stop the bleeding. That's the first order of business. But once we finish this abortion thing, and for all of you out there who think that this is a chaotic political foolishness for us as the body of Christ to be trying to restore the God-given personhood of every innocent person, For those of you who think it's foolishness, I have a prophecy for you right now. We are going to win. We are going to end this abortion thing. We are going to stop the legalized murder of innocent people in our neighborhoods. We will. Maybe not this election cycle, maybe not even the next, but we will. So what you call foolishness is going to be turned right back on you, because we will win. Now, when we finish this abortion thing, I certainly want to turn our attention to the fact that the justice system tolerates child molesters. Because I'm sorry, there are some things that simply cannot be tolerated, should not be tolerated, and if they are tolerated, simply become toxic. So that's next on my list, is the death penalty for child molesters. And if I was taking calls today, and I'm not taking calls today, because I'm almost out of time and I've rambled on here for a good half an hour. But if I were taking calls, I would challenge the audience. I would like to hear one person call me and give me a rational argument as to why child molesters, child rapists, should not be put to death. I don't think there's a rational argument. Anyway, I guess you could email me. Am I going to give my email on the air? No. Just Google my name, Doug McBurney. You can find me. If you have a rational argument as to why child rapists and child molesters should not be put to death, I'm easy to find. You send it to me and I'll engage you in the next broadcast. All right. Now, didn't I have another story? How much time do I have left? Not much. I'm trying to find a story, I know. But bear with me, folks. I'm just a regular guy. I'm not like Superman here. I have to find the story. I have a huge pile of stories. Oh, here it is. A San Francisco couple, this is from San Francisco Chronicle, a week ago. A San Francisco couple whose teenage daughter was allegedly being pimped by a Southern California man tracked him around the state, failing at one attempt to kill him before shooting him to death near Candlestick Park last Wednesday. Attorneys for the couple say that they tried everything to rescue their daughter from the 22-year-old gang member and pimp from Compton. Now they're saying they didn't kill him. They tried to get their 17-year-old daughter back through legitimate means. But apparently they turned to premeditated murder according to the article in the San Francisco Chronicle. The mom and dad appeared in court last Wednesday on murder charges for shooting a 22-year-old gang member and alleged pimp. See, folks, when you tolerate this kind of crime, this is what happens. You drive people insane. So that's about the end of the show. All right, well, I want to thank Bob Inyart for letting me sit in the studio. Go to personhoodcolorado.com. Go to coloradorightforlife.com. Get your personhood petition. Get out there and get signatures. The murderers on death row today should be executed. Excuse me, what did he just say? My name's Doug McBurney, and I heard Bob Inyart say just that in 1995, and I've been listening ever since. I found out that the death penalty is at the heart of the gospel, and that Christianity and justice need not be mutually exclusive. A video titled God and the Death Penalty is available today at kgov.com. God and the Death Penalty examines God's ideas about justice. You'll learn the New Testament verses affirming the death penalty and understand why God never repealed capital punishment. Find out God's opinion. Order God and the Death Penalty today at kgov.com. That's God and the Death Penalty at kgov.com.